kind of sometimes make, I just think everybody knows what's happening, but somebody had asked, where's your wife? Is she here today? No, my wife is out in California. She and Vaughn took off and they got out there and with David and Breezy and the grandchildren there, and they're just having an absolutely wonderful time. It's totally good. In fact, they left Thursday afternoon, got them up to the airport. Diane and I didn't talk on the phone until yesterday. Now, we text back and forth and stuff like that, but we didn't talk on the phone until yesterday. She's doing good, and I'm doing good. So, you know, it's good. Hallelujah. I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, she is my better half, as many folks would say, but I'm good. And then I just have to share this with you to get started, just because it's fun. I actually have evidence of this. I could get it and my phone, and I could read it, but I was having headaches. Pretty nasty headaches, and I'd get dizzy. And one Sunday morning a while back, I tipped over at the house and grabbed something, and stuff just took off. This is not fun. This is not good. So I went up to the doctor, and they did a MRI and an MRA, and then they sent, I think I'm saying right words, and they sent word back. I got word back from the doctor, and she said, everything is absolutely fine. It's wonderful. You're perfect. Said it was all perfect. I now have medical, scientific evidence that I am perfect. And I passed that on to my wife, Diana, and she said, yes, you are perfect. I have it. I have it. It's texted down. I have evidence. So praise God. Amen. I just had to share that with you. I just thought that was fun, you know. Glory to God. Amen. Well, you can take your Bible and open up to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke. I did not hear Ernie, no. Is it better that I don't? Probably. No. Ernie, what did you say? That was low, buddy. That was low. Yeah, I love you too. You're right, it is terrible. I shouldn't have asked. All right, let's pray. Father, would you help Ernie? There's a lot of amens going up for that one, Ernie. Oh, God, we love you. We love you so much, and we praise you, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your word is alive, and it brings life and life more abundantly, Father. We give you the glory, and I just ask for your help. I know I need it, and I know you give it. I thank you for a sufficiency. I thank you for an ability to be able to convey and to put out what you want people to hear, Father God. And I just thank you for the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit, where he can take the words that I say and he can speak truth to each heart in this place today, and the different things that are going on in people's lives and the different settings. And Father, you just minister to each one where they're at through your word and through the Holy Spirit. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, did you get your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. And I have a couple of titles this morning for the message. It seems like I have no title, or I get several titles, but one of them would be this, Great Joy in the Middle of Your Mess. Great Joy in the Middle of Your Mess. And then the second title is, people told me I better be careful with this one, but Here's Your Sign. That's the second title. Here's your sign. So let's start reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Amen. I love God. I've been in the ministry for 29 years, and every year but one have done a Christmas message. That's, for me, that's quite a few, I think, 28 Christmas messages, and many of them I will turn to these passages of Scripture and read from here. And yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting just going over my notes again, looking, you know, in my Bible and reading, and it was so fun because here I am, something that I've read multiple times. All of a sudden comes inspiration. All of a sudden comes a truth. All of a sudden comes life, and I'm like, God, thank you. You are so good. Verse 10 again. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people." Everybody say all the people. What does Jesus want to have happen for all the people? What does God want to have happen for all the people? Great joy. Great joy. Turn and look at somebody and say, great joy. Great joy. He wants great joy for all of the people. I know I'm not going to follow my notes real well, but I'm going to get everything out that's in them and more. I think about this. How many of you know Jesus didn't come just so we could have a nice holiday? That ain't why he came. He didn't come so we could have a nice holiday. He came for so much more than that. He came that we could have great joy for all the people. One of the things that tells me, as Christians, as believers, we ought to have a great joy. Amen. We ought to have a great joy. It ought to be on the inside of us. It's something that we should possess, a great joy. He came to give that to us. Well, bless God, I want it. You know, and the price he paid to give us these things was huge. He paid with his life. I don't want that to be in vain. I want to take hold of it. I want to grab onto it. Wasn't my idea. It was his idea. You know, he's got some good ideas. I actually think he's way ahead of Ford. Don't you drive a Ford? Yeah, but Jesus is still way ahead. Amen. All right. Glory to God. But you know, great joy to all the people. Angels show up and they make this message and they let it be made known. And we're just going to read again. Verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. This is where the second part of the title comes from. And there will be a sign to you. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now here's what hit me. This is a pretty big announcement. Angel shows up. You know, glad tidings, good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior is born in the city of David. This is something that's going to impact the whole world. This is something that's going to change everything. And it's awesome. And here's your sign. A baby in a manger in swaddling clothes. How many of you might think you would have a grander sign? It might be a bit more spectacular. Now I want you to think a little bit about this manger and this, you know, scene. How many people do you suppose were in Bethlehem? You guys are all being really quiet on me. You're taking it in. Praise God. How many folks do you suppose were here with the registration taking place and all that? And, you know, how many people do you think were in Bethlehem? What was going on? We read some verses of scripture earlier. So it was that while they were there, days were complete for her to deliver. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. So what's going on in this community? What's happening in this town? Huh? Sturgis. Oh, that'll work. Yeah, it's busy. Thank you, Michelle. That's perfect. It's busy. There's bunches of people. There's all kinds of people. Amen. There's lots of folks in this town. The inns are all full. How did a lot of people get there? Walking? What else? Motorcycles. Horses! Donkeys! Amen. Where'd they put all those horses and donkeys? In the stables. Wonder how full the stables are. Here's my next question. I wonder how clean and fresh they are. Anybody ever been around animals? It's just the freshest place in the world. Oh. How many of you think that stable might have had somewhat of a mess? And here's the announcement, a Savior for all the world. And here's your sign. This Savior is born and placed in the middle of this, not the prettiest place in the world. Amen? There's a point I want to pull out of this today. And this is a theme and a thought for the day that God put in my heart. There are so many times when we have a mess, and if we will take God's word and place it in the middle of our mess, God knows how to fix that mess. Amen. And think about this. What kind of shape was the world in when Jesus Christ was born? Friends, we can say this, the world was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And God sends his son Jesus into a manger, and there's nothing pretty about the scene, honestly, other than the Savior of the world is born in the middle of this mess. That's the good thing in the middle of all of that. Amen? I want to tell you what. Don't you think there could have been a better sign? Here's your sign. Going to impact the whole world. I tell you what, sometimes we want things from God to look so grand and to look so spectacular in the middle of our mess, but it doesn't always look that way, you guys. You know, you just take it, we take his word. We take his word and we put his word in the middle of what we're walking through. We put his word in there, and his word has the ability to change that situation. And how many of you know Jesus had a tendency to mess stuff up? How many of you know, what do I mean by that? Let me say what I mean. How many of you know Jesus had a tendency to mess up traditions? Yes. Amen. Jesus had a tendency not to always do everything the way people expected him. You know, I think about when he, you could just flip over there. Yeah, just flip over there and read with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 4. You're close. Luke chapter 4. There's a reason for this. Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been, he comes in, verse 16, we'll start reading. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach delivery to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes were on, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, you know, here's the thing, just this flows with it. What did the people see? Joseph's son, something normal. Something to them that was common. But what was it? Who was it? Son of God. Joy. Savior of the world. And they missed it because they only saw natural. But in that natural was supernatural. And then they ended up getting offended at him. And if you were to keep on reading on, how many of you know they got ticked at him? How many of you know they carried him out and wanted to toss him off the hill? Do you know Jesus lots of times would mess things up? You know, he'd mess up people's plans. What I mean by that, he'd mess up religious traditions. Amen? He would. He would mess them up. And I'm saying this for a reason. Because sometimes we get our traditions. And we want to do our traditions. And I've noticed that people sometimes can't receive from God because his traditions aren't in there. You know, their traditions. He messes with their traditions. I know people who have been frustrated with me over the years because I don't do a traditional Christmas service or a traditional Thanksgiving or a traditional Mother's Day. There's stuff. I just don't do them because God doesn't put it in my heart to do. And then people get offended because that stuff isn't in there and they miss the point. How many times did Jesus not do the traditional? Many, many times. Amen? And people ended up missing it. People ended up missing it. Don't, you know, think about it. How many people are celebrating Christmas this time of year and they've missed the real message? How many people will go to church and have a nice service and everything's perfect and everything's wonderful and everything just looks just right and you got the nativity scenes that are clean and attractive and fun and they'll have a great service, but so many people won't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen? Let's not let the traditions of men get in the road of the message of God. You know, I don't know about you, but this is how it is for me at Christmas time on life. How many of you, I'll do it this way. How many of you would be cruising through life, maybe when you were younger, you're cruising through life, and in it, you know, it's kind of like right here. You're just cruising along, you're going, and then something special comes along. A birthday comes along, or Thanksgiving comes along, or Christmas comes along, and when those special events come along, whew, you're up here. Is anybody connecting with me? Is anybody relating to this? And you have those special events, like when I was a kid, I'm cruising along down here, and then Christmas would show up. Whew, I'm up here. Anticipation, excitement, things I'm looking forward to, and I'd go through Christmas, and then New Year's, and then guess what would happen? I'd be back down to here, going along. Same thing would happen my birthday and other things like that. Anybody relate to this? Yeah, y'all, okay. But what's happened over the years is I don't live down here anymore. I got here. And then what happened is all of those things that Jesus gave us to gave to us, joy, great joy, do you know that's for every day of the week? Amen. And I'll just be honest with you. I live up here the vast majority of the time. I do. I live up here. I'm just a happy person. Anybody else happy? Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. Clap your hands. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, I live up here most of the time. And so then what happens is when I get to Christmas, there's not a radical change for me in my emotions. And in my mood, because he came to give us great joy. Not just for a season, but for every day of our life. And the more we get to know him and the more we walk in him and the more we grab a hold of him, the more we realize, oh, you know what? A lot of that stuff just isn't that important. But what really matters is him, my relationship with him, my friendship with him. And so one thing Rick and Jan said to me years ago, and I appreciated it, is just a great compliment. And it was this. They just said, Joel, you're not a roller coaster. You're just not a roller coaster. You are not an up and down person. Now, does this mean I don't have my moments? No. I'm just not a roller coaster. I don't know. I don't like roller coaster rides anyway. I know some of you in here do. I do not. I like to keep the contents of my stomach on the inside of me. Thank you very much. You know, I just don't like roller coaster rides. And I don't like roller coaster rides in life. I just like to be up here to grab a hold of what God has for me. So, you know what? Jesus can step into things and he can mess them up. So if somebody doesn't do something you're expecting them to do, you're wanting them to do, don't miss the message. Amen? I hope you're catching that. Don't miss the message. Amen? If it doesn't look like you think it should look, don't miss it. I mean, I think it's amazing. Here, this Savior to all the world, born in a stable, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, a lot of that doesn't look that grand. Yet there is a Savior of the world in the middle of a mess. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Take with me, if you would, please, and go to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to kind of change gears. Anybody getting anything out of this today? You guys doing okay? Okay, I'll take a few more amens. I'll even take a few more comments from Ernie. Come on, thank you, sir. I love that. Glory. Glory to God. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And what I want to talk about is, remember, Jesus came for a reason. More than just to have a holiday. Jesus came to change people's lives. Jesus came to change the condition of this world. And the primary way he wants to do that is to make a difference in your life, and then you turn around and make a difference in the world. That's going to be the primary way he does it. Well, I want him to be able to make the full and complete change in my life that he wants to make. How about you guys? And there's a way that we can go about grabbing a hold of what he has given for us and what he has given to us. So, James chapter 1, keep a marker here. We won't stay here very long. We'll come back after a bit. But great joy. He had given great joy. And as believers, we ought to carry great joy. We ought to walk around in great joy. That's one of the things Jesus gave us to have. Amen? Great joy. Turn and look at somebody and say, great joy. Anybody got any messes? Anybody got any messes? Well, you know what? You can have great joy in the middle of your mess. Great joy. In fact, having joy in the middle of your mess is one of the best ways to have that mess get turned around. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. Well, how do we grab a hold of the joy of the Lord? How do we get the joy of the Lord, especially in the middle of our mess? In the middle of stuff that's going on. And this world is still a mess and it needs true joy. It doesn't need religion. It doesn't need hollow practices. It needs real, authentic life of Jesus. Yes. Amen. That's what it needs. And we're the ones, just think about it, we get to give that to the world. We get to be the conduit that God works through. Hallelujah. So here it is, James. James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete or mature, lacking nothing. Amen? We're going to come back to that and go a little slower when we come back. But one of the first things that I want to say about joy is this. Choice. Choose. Choose. Your choice. One of the first things about joy and walking in joy and living in joy is choice. choose. I choose to be joyful. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I remember I used to take Caleb to his babysitter, and then I'd drop him off, and then I'd go to Rhema. And on our way, every day, 5 days a week, we would say this as we're going from our house to the babysitters. We would vote, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's just we just put it on the inside of us. It is a choice. It is a choice. I choose to be joyful. I choose to be positive. I choose to be happy. When? All the time. And if you, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Stop me. That's a good thing. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. If you don't have this verse highlighted in your Bible, you should. Amen. And you can at this point. It's just one of the greatest verses. I love it so much. Notice what he says here. Jeremiah 15, 16. I'm just going to read it. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I just love that. I just think it's so cool. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Where is this person getting joy from? Where's Jeremiah getting joy from? The word of God. And what does he do with the word of God? He eats it. He consumes it. He takes it into his being. And it becomes what? The joy and the rejoicing of his heart. So when does he have joy? He's got joy all the time. He's got joy on the inside of him. He's got joy that flows out of him. Think he's got joy in the middle of his mess? Did you ever read about him? You know, he's referred to as the weeping prophet because people just wouldn't receive his message. They didn't hear him. They wouldn't listen to what he had to say. But yet, your word, and I quote it differently. Maybe it's from a different translation or me putting ones together differently. I said this, your words were found by me and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. God, your words were found by me and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Now, Deuteronomy. Got to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. David and Breezy and Diana are sending me messages. So, and they do know where I'm at. And they do know I'm not done yet. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to just read verse 14. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word, everybody say, but the word. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. But the word is very near you. Now, I want you to notice an order of something here. Where is it first? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. There's an order there. There's a process there. And I haven't left the message of great joy. Your words were found by me and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart in the middle of my mess. Amen. Do you know I don't have too many woe is me stories? How many of you knew I was having nasty headaches? One person knew. Why? Because I'm not going to talk about my mess. I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to place it in the middle of my mess. And we're going to deal with my mess through God's word. Amen? That's how we're going to get through it. That's how we're going to do it. So, your words were found by me and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. There's an order there. Get the word in your mouth. Get it in your heart. Then you'll find yourselves doing it. Then you'll find yourselves living it. Then you won't have to make yourself do it. It'll be life flowing out of you. It's so much better. Life in Jesus is so much better than religion. Religion is hard. Religion is hard. Religion is a bunch of have-tos. But life in Jesus is exactly that. Life. 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 Okay? Now jump down to verse 19. He says this, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. How does God set life ahead of us? How does God set life in front of us? His word. He sets his word in front of us, amen? And we can choose his word, we can choose his word, we can choose his word, life, blessings, or we can choose not his word. And if we choose not to have his word, guess what we're choosing? Death. Cursings. Which one do you want? I want life. I want his word. I want his word. And he said it before me. So I'm going to get it in my mouth and I'm going to get it in my heart and I'm going to do it. It's going to flow out of me. Bob, last week when he was sharing, let's see, I look around. How many of you knew me before I became a Christian? You did? Kind of? Because of Crazy Horse and all that, but we didn't really know each other. No. Bob did. Bob, what was I like? What was our conversation like? And don't, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I don't care. I'm so forgiven. It isn't funny. But what was it? What was that first encounter like? Mm-hmm. If I wasn't, I was on my way. And the crazy thing is, about every third word was a cuss word out of my mouth. I mean, and I can't remember why I went here. I know how we got here. I went here. I just don't know why I went here. How many of you have ever done that at home? You walk into a room and you go, why am I here? That's going on right now for me. And y'all looking at me going, why are you here? I'd really like to know why you're here. Ah, what was I reading? Oh, life set before me. I think that might get us back to where I want to be. But I was choosing death. I was choosing death. I wasn't choosing life. And then the word got set before me, and I chose the word. And life came, and I became a happy person without drugs. I became a joyful person, upbeat, positive, totally different person. I guarantee you, there's people in this town that are shocked. I promise you they're shocked. Amen? But amen. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say choose life. Choose life. See, the choice is ours. And how do we choose life? Choose the word. Choose the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go back to James. We got back there. You ought to be impressed. That doesn't happen all the time. Go back to James with me. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. You guys doing okay? Amen. Getting something out of this? Yes. I sure hope so. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all what? Joy. Count it all what? Joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. If I can, Dick. Just a week ago Sunday, Grace sat down in that chair right there, and I'm thoroughly convinced she left this world. I believe she left that world then. Lisa Parsons was feeling for a pulse and couldn't find a pulse. But then because of faith and not wanting to say goodbye to a friend, best friend, wife for 41, 42 years, dated for 5 or 6 years, not wanting to say goodbye, Dick was just like, no, I'm not going to let go. No, not going to let go. And then Lisa got Grace's head and looked at her, and then Grace's eyes opened. And friends, I can tell you, I have looked into Grace's eyes, and the eyes that opened up that day were not the same set of eyes that I had looked at over the times that I had known her. And then she makes it up to the hospital. After we got done doing our stuff here, I went up there and got there about 2 and was in the hospital room, and we were talking and just visiting, and then I felt prompted to pray. And so I prayed, and I started praying in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I remember praying, and Dick started praying with me, and Brenda Heron started praying with me. And one of the things I remember praying the strongest was, Holy Spirit, you lead. You guide. And Holy Spirit, since you lead, we just let you lead. We let you take the lead. We let you have it. We got done praying, said amen, and I looked up and I saw Grace. I knew Grace was gone. She'd left. And I turned and I looked at Dick and I said, Dick, you ready to let her go? Yeah, I'm ready. I looked at the clock and it was 3:00. Brenda went and got a nurse. Grace is in heaven. Grace is in heaven. But I've watched Dick, and we've got to talk this last week, and he's not being dishonest. He's being very honest. But he's walking through this by grabbing a hold of God's word. One of the things he shared with me, he's reading his Bible, always does that every day, devotions, reading his Bible, going over things, spending time praying in the Holy Spirit. Is there a grief? Yeah, not like the world has though. It's not without hope. He's got an incredible hope. And honestly, I think this is really, and how many of you would think this would be awesome? You're standing in church praising God, and the next thing you know, you're standing in heaven praising God. Amen. Glory to God. So you know what Dick is doing in the middle of his mess? He's grabbing a hold of the truth of God's word. He's grabbing a hold of the promises of heaven. He's grabbing a hold of that life and life more abundantly in Jesus Christ. That's how he's doing it. That's how he's walking through it. And you know what? That's how we do it in everything. That's how we do it in all areas of life. We get a hold of God's word because that is our foundation. Amen. And in here in you know, James, I'm going to shorten this maybe. Count it all joy. Count it all what? Joy. Count it all joy. When? In the midst of the mess, in the midst of the hard time, in the midst of the tough time. Oh, I want to turn to this verse of scripture because it's one of my favorites. Can I go there? Just because it's a favorite? You guys are all okay? Habakkuk, it's kind of funny. I talk into my iPad. And I just talk. And you want to know how Habakkuk comes up? Habakkuk. That's how it shows up right there. Habakkuk. Not Habakkuk. Habakkuk. So I have a cook. She's in California. No. Oh, shoot. That's on the tape. I love you, honey. But look at these verses of scripture here in Habakkuk. Might stay that way for a while. Who knows? Verse 17, chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. How many of you know this isn't good? This is a mess. This is just not good. This isn't a great time right now for this fellow. Habakkuk chapter 3, started reading at verse 17. But I love verse 18. Yet, everybody say yet. Yes. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. What will I do when everything's going wrong? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How many of you want great joy in the middle of your mess? Choose the word and choose to be joyful. It's a choice, amen? I've found your word. Your word was found by me and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. How many of you know right now I'm giving you the word? Right now you can eat this word. You can eat this word right now. You can get it on the inside of you. You can eat it. You can take it in. And then somewhere down the road, you're in a mess. And you go, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. See, I think Christians just ought to be full of joy. And it's not faking. It's not phony. It comes from the inside through the eating and the devouring and the taking in of God's word. And there we have this joy. And I love what God says he will do. Verse 19, and the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on the high hills. I wonder when he makes my feet like deer's feet. In the middle of my mess. And when does he cause me to walk on the high hills? In the middle of my mess. And then if you read the last line, it says, now take this and give it to the magician. Somebody say that word for me. Yeah, the singers and the songwriters. It was sounding like it was coming out magicians, and that's not right. But put it to music. Put it to music. Yet I will rejoice. And what will God do? You know, remember I talked about I used to go through life down here? But you know what God has done? He causes me to walk on the high hills. He's made my feet like deer's feet, even in the middle of the mess. I want you to do something with me. Guys, I need you to do something with me. What's your mess? You can go back to James. Count it all joy. Count it all what? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. When? When you fall into various trials. Count it all joy in the middle of your mess. Amen? Count it all joy in the middle of your mess. What do I got? A mess. And just as Jesus left heaven and came to this world and was wrapped in swaddling clothing and placed in a manger in a stable where there was lots of animals, and it wasn't the freshest, it wasn't the prettiest place in the world. Just as God took Jesus and Jesus became, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friends, take the Word of God and put it in the middle of your mess. And God's Word has got life and joy for you right smack in the middle of the mess. And do you know there isn't anything God's afraid of? There isn't any circumstance that we're facing that God can't handle, that God doesn't want to see. There's nothing we can present to him that is too much for him. So don't be afraid to present your mess to him. Amen. God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm in the middle of. Take his word. What's your mess right now? Get your mess out and look at it in your own life. And some of you might be sitting here going, I don't have a mess, Pastor. Praise God. We don't have one all the time. I know that. Glory to God. But they do show up. And when they show up, take the word out. Find word that speaks to your mess and begin to apply it. Yes. Karen is doing that. You know, here Karen is. She's got a tumor, totally filled up one lung. But yet, when I was down there and talking to her, you know, this was her, I will live and not die, and I will proclaim the works of the Lord. She had a family member that calls up. I don't know who. I can't remember the name. Call up and just, just trauma. And Karen looked at her and said, stop it. Stop it now. I don't want to hear that. I don't need that. What I need you to do is every time that starts to rise up in you because you love me, I know you love me, and I know that's the motive of why all this stuff starts. She said, but stop it. What I would like you to do is please say, by Jesus' stripes, Karen is healed. By Jesus' stripes, Karen is healed. That is what Karen is asking people to do for her. Amen? So not woe is me. Karen doesn't want a woe is me story. She's in the middle of her mess, and she's taken the Word of God, and she's played it right in the middle of it. And she's letting the Word of God do what the Word of God does, and she's letting it impact her life. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know what Christmas messages are supposed to be like. I honestly don't know. You'd think after 29 years of being a pastor, you'd have it figured out. Well, I ain't got it figured out yet. But I do know what God puts in my heart. Amen. That I know. And I know Jesus didn't come into this world just so we could have a nice holiday. Jesus came into this world to make a difference in our lives so we could make a difference in this world with his life and love and joy. Amen? And today what we've been talking about is how to have that good news of great joy to all the people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you in here have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You are born again. You know it. You know when you leave this world and go to heaven, you're going to get to go visit Grace. Amen? You're going to get to go talk to Grace. Hallelujah. And a whole bunch of other folks. Amen? How many of you, when you get to heaven, you want to have some folks walk up to you and say, oh man, thank you for the life you lived. Thank you for the way you were because of you. Because of you, I watched you, and I saw how you lived, and I saw the joy and the hope in the middle of the tough times. I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How many of you want to have people walk up to you and say that? How many of you know how we live our lives is going to be a radical impact on that? Amen? Glory to God. Let's all go ahead and stand up. And with Diana gone, I don't know. Jennifer, did you guys don't have a closing song? All right. Amen. Jenny, will you get something and just play some music softly? Glory to God. Did I get to see every hand raised? Does everybody in here know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Friends, if you're here today and if you have never, when I say is, you know, Jesus your Lord, is, are you saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? And you're looking at me kind of, well, I don't know for sure what that means. I don't know. I mean, you know, I like to, if you're here and you're kind of like, well, I hope I go to heaven. How many of you'd like to go from hope to know? I know I'm going to heaven, not know, N-O-K-N-O-W. I know I'm going to heaven. See, heaven doesn't have to be a hope-so thing. Heaven can be, I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. And how do we get there? How do we get there? There's one way. Jesus Christ is the way. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way. Yes. He came to this earth for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons was so that when we came to the end of our life and went, leave this world, we're in heaven. If you're in this place today and you've never asked for forgiveness of sin, if you've never believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and then confessed with your mouth and said, Jesus, be my Lord. If you've never done that, I want you to know you can today. You can right now. You can right now. See, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. We all have. Every one of us in here has blown it. Every one of us in here had our mess. We had our mess of sin. And Jesus came into the middle of our mess. And he said, if you will receive me, I'll deal with your mess. If you've been here and you've never let Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior, it's really simple. It goes a lot like this. God, I've sinned. I've blown it. I know it. And God, right now, today, at this moment, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for forgiving me. I believe in my heart that, God, you raised Jesus from the dead. And right now, Jesus, I confess you. I confess you as my Lord. Be my Lord. I believe and I confess. I thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you're in this place today and you have never done that, you've never done something like that where you just cried out to Jesus, you can do it right now. Right now. Would you all do this? This is what's in my heart. This is how I want to do this. Just repeat this prayer after me, would you please? God, right now, I thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And you now, Jesus, are at his right hand. And you, Jesus, died on a cross to take my sins away. I accept you, Jesus, and what you did for me, so I could be forgiven. And right now, I ask you to come into my heart. I give you my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. I believe I'm forgiven. And Jesus, I confess you are my Lord and my life is yours for you to use. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're in this place today and you prayed that prayer and it's first time ever, and you believe in your heart and you meant it, you make sure you tell somebody before this day is over. Amen? Amen. You let somebody know. Go share with a friend. Go tell somebody, I did that. I did that today. Father God, right now, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ tomorrow. And we thank you that we get to have life and life more abundantly 365 days a year. Thank you for lifting us up high, God. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Find somebody, give them a big